Amen. Thank you, Brother Cooper. Well, Pastor contacted me just actually shortly before I left, and left to come from Poteet, and said he wasn't going to be able to make it, wanted to know if I could take over the service. And I said, sure, yeah, I can do that. And so then you start praying, right, Brother? You know how that works. And part of me thinks, you know, well, I wish I had a little more time, but you know what? What I found out, Brother Chuck, is when something like this happens, you got to depend upon the Lord, you know. And so maybe I depend on. Now, I don't know what I'd do without my iPad. I've gotten so dependent on that. It used to be a Thompson chain Bible, you know. I thought I couldn't preach without a Thompson chain, you know. And I used that to prepare outlines for years. And now I've got everything on my tablet, and that's the way that I teach. And I don't really claim, and I don't think, and I think, Brother Lewis, I've heard you say some of the same things along this line. I don't really claim to be a prophet. You know, I'm more like a teacher. And, you know, I had the honor of being the interim here for about a year, and that's something I need to really depend on the Lord. I remember the night of that meeting, Brother Mike, when y'all voted me all in, and I tell you what, remember I got on the knees right in the middle of all you guys, and I asked y'all to pray for me. You know, because it's something you have to depend on the Lord for, and I knew it was God's will, and it was an honor to do that, but you got to depend upon God to do these kinds of things. But I think God has given me more of a gift of teaching. I think I have what the Bible calls the gift of ruling, which is like a gift of administration. I think that maybe that's why God put me in school administration, and it's a gift. You either have that gift or you don't have the gift. And so anyway, I just ask y'all to pray for me tonight. But here's the thing I was thinking about when the preacher mentioned this to me. There's a verse over in Proverbs chapter 28. And by the way, I've already had instructions from two of the brethren that says I need to be done by 7:20. Okay. And so some of y'all know what that's all about. Okay. And I don't know why it would matter to Colin. He's got the NFL network back there. He'd probably be looking at it anyway, you know, but yeah, you wouldn't do that, would you, Colin? You wouldn't do it while I'm preaching anyway, right? So we'll see, you know, probably, but I'm not making any guarantees. Look at Proverbs 28, verse 1. Here is the thought that I might have for tonight, and I trust maybe that you'll get a blessing from this. I love the way that the Proverbs read. I love especially this group of Proverbs that we're looking at. This group of Proverbs that starting in chapter 28, it'll give you, it's like a positive part and a negative part, or it'll give you to you the negative way and the positive way. I don't know if that makes sense or not, but here's what the Bible says. Now here's, I guess you'd say if there's a negative side of this, you'd look at the first part. The Bible says, the wicked flee when no man pursueth. Again, interesting wording, is it not? And I think about that. What in the world is Solomon trying to say right here? It says, but the righteous are as bold as lions. I think what it's talking about right here, and by the way, I do believe this is talking to children of God. It could be applied to people that is not saved also, but I believe it is being especially applied to children of God. The Bible, do you think a child of God could be wicked? I do believe that a child of God could be wicked, right? And the Bible says that the wicked flee when no man pursueth. Now, what would that tell you when you're thinking about that? And, you know, you might have some thoughts on some of this, and I'll tell you what I think here in just a minute, all right? But actually, I'll tell you right now, when it says the wicked flee when no man pursueth, I think that's somebody that is wicked, that's done something wicked, that has sinned, and he's gotten a little paranoid. Is that the way that we could apply this verse right here? And isn't that the way it goes sometimes? I mean, if you're doing something you shouldn't be doing as a child of God, you know, you're gonna worry about some of the consequences. Now, sin does have consequences, does it not? And when we're not doing something right, sometimes we do things and it has unintended consequences. Sometimes when we sin, it has unintended consequences. We're counting on doing that, you know, but that's just the way that it is. And I'll tell you what, for a child of God, when a child of God sins, a child of God can sin, right? But when a child of God sins, there's going to be consequences he's going to have to suffer perhaps from our Heavenly Father. And it might be something that you wasn't counting on, but sometimes it doesn't happen, and I believe that's what this verse is saying right here. And I mean, these are my thoughts on this. Look at the latter part of that verse. But the righteous are as bold as a lion. Well, if you're living right and you're doing right as a child of God, you don't have to worry about sin or any kind of consequences like that. But for a child of God, you know, if you sin, then you're worried about something. Now, if you're doing something wrong, and worried about the consequences that it might have. Now, so I think it's possible for a child of God to sin, and not think that he's going to have any kind of consequences. I believe that you could get so desensitized to the Spirit. You're not going to submit to the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. That's what I'm trying to say. And you don't worry about that. But yet it is going to eventually catch up with you. For a child of God, the Bible says, 1 John 1, 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and then to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, for a child of God, if you do not confess that sin, and what God is really wanting you to do is see it like he sees it, right? That's why he wants you to confess it. I mean, it might not seem like a big thing for you, and you might think in your heart, well, why would God want me to, confess this? He knows I've already done wrong, right? He just wants you to see, he wants you to see it like he sees it. This is something that's important for God. Don't ask me why, but it is. All right, and so that's why we confess it. Now, for a child of God, if you sin, you can sin, all right, but you can't get away with it as a child of God. Now, by the way, somebody that's not saved, you can sin. I've seen them sin all the time, get away with all kinds of stuff. But the child of God cannot do that. But what the Bible says right here, that sometimes when you sin, you start to flee, kind of like a fugitive. It says the wicked flee when no man is actually pursuing. And therein is the paranoia that enters into this. And I think this is something, one of the ways that God is going to punish us. Again, like I say, God's not going to let you get away with something like that. So, when no man pursueth, the wicked is going to flee. But the righteous, on the other hand, because they're living right, they can be as bold as a lion. So, the righteous then are bold as lions. Don't have to worry about it. Somebody that's telling the truth, somebody that's living right, somebody that's not intentionally, and I believe maybe this is talking about intentional sin, all right? Somebody that is not intentionally sinning, and we all do sin. I do understand that, okay? And none of us are perfect. I've heard people say that before, David. They say, I'm perfect. I've not sinned in a long time. Yeah, whatever, Like the guy that told me one time, I've never had a fight with my wife. Yeah, well, okay, whatever, Everybody believe that, stand on your head, okay? But anyway, we're not perfect by any means, all right? But when we do sin, we need to confess it. I'll tell you what, when you sin, if you sin against another brother or another sister, you need to confess it. You need to go to them and, ask them to forgive you. Now, I'll tell you what may happen. You may go to them and ask them to forgive you, and you may get it right in your own heart, but then they may not get it right, and they may not forgive you. But still, at least you're right in your own mind and your own heart, right? But I don't want to live with this sense of paranoia. I don't want to live a sinful life and then worried about what the consequences are going to be. And sometimes the consequences may come and sometimes they may not. But I'll tell you where the real punishment is, and that's where God, He makes you think that you're not going to get away with it and they're chasing after you. And paranoia, I believe that's something that God punishes us with, okay? So the righteous, the Bible says right here in verse 1, they are as bold as a lion. And that's the way that I want to be. I was thinking to myself, to my knowledge, I think my conscience is clear. Not to say that I've lived a perfect life or a sinless life, because I do sin. I try to get it right. And I tell you, brethren, if I've offended any of y'all, come to me, let me know, not you, Linda, okay, but come to me. I don't know what you're grinning about back there, okay, but she says, yeah, I got a list here, okay, but anyway, I have, to my knowledge, my conscience is clear, and, the closer I get to the other side, the closer I get to the Lord and to heaven, I want to keep my conscience clear, I want to keep my account clear, I want to keep my life all confessed up. I want to 1 John 1:9, everything I can think of, And then he'll faithfully and just forgive us all our sins, cleanse us from all. That's the way that I want to be. That's the way that I want to live my life. I want to have a clear conscience. And therein is where the Bible is talking about being bold as a lion. Now, this is what I think about when I think about this verse. I mean, you read this verse. You may think some other way, all right. But you tell me if I'm telling you the truth or not. Somebody that's living a wicked life, they usually have this nagging fear, Are you ready for this? That their sins will eventually catch up to them. I think this is especially true for a child of God. You may get you may get away with it for quite a while or for a long period of time, all right? And then all of a sudden it starts working on you, or at least is the way it is with me. I mean, if you are a child of God, God's not going to let you get away with this. You start thinking it's going to catch up with me at some point, you know. And by the way, if you haven't confessed it, and if it's not caught up with you yet, it's never too late to go ahead and get it right, okay, and then ask somebody to forgive you or ask God to forgive you. It's never too late. How should I put this? It's never too late to start doing right. Does that make sense? You know, that's what I'm trying to say. If you've been doing it wrong, you say, Brother King, I've been doing it wrong all these years. Well, then start doing it right. Start doing it right today. You know, and look, you can apply this across the board. I don't know how God would work on this particular thought with your heart, but if you've been doing it wrong, start doing it right. And I think God will bless you for it. Maybe God will forgive you. Probably He will forgive you. Well, He says He will forgive you, right? 1 John 1:9. You know, if you get it right and you confess it, say, oh God, you know, maybe you haven't been doing your taxes right for many, many years, okay? Well, it's never too late to start doing your taxes right, okay? And maybe God will forgive you. And some of you may think, well, if I start doing it right now, it's going to raise all kinds of red flags at the IRS, you know. But, hey, look, start doing it right. It's never, and look, apply that however God might apply that to your life, okay? But wicked people, if you're living a wicked life, as a child of God, if you're living a wicked life, you have this nagging fear that it, and it will, it probably will eventually catch up with you. Now, according to the way the Bible reads right here in verse 1, you know, maybe not. But you're still going to have that nagging fear. And I tell you what, I want a clear conscience, don't you? I don't want to go through my life as a child of God, you know, worrying with a bad conscience. I want to have a clear conscience. I want everybody to like me, okay? I want you all to like me. I like for everybody to like me. I don't like for anybody not to like me. But I know that's not the way it always works, right, Brother Chuck? I mean, there's some people probably don't like us, never will like us, all right? But that's just the nature of the beast. Now, wicked people, they have this nagging fear, but wicked people too, they are plagued with, based upon what I'm reading in this verse right here, they're plagued with paranoia. You ever seen a paranoid person? You know, they jump at every sound. They're suspicious of every person. They're the kind of people, they go into their house, you know, and they pull down the shades and they're peeking through the shades. You know, they're thinking somebody's out to get them, you know, and, you know, maybe that's not it. Maybe that's not the case at all. But yet, I'd rather be like that bold lion, wouldn't you? And just be as bold as a lion and not worry about anything because my conscience is clear. I'd like to think that everybody in here, their conscience would be clear. Again, the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous, they're as bold as a lion, the Bible says. You know, wicked people, they're plagued with this paranoia. They're suspicious of every person that approaches them. There were kings in Israel that was like this. You know, there was kings in Great Britain that were like this. They were paranoid. And, you know, and I won't go into all of that detail. But what is it that wicked people fear? I mean, they could fear all kinds of things, you know. Maybe they fear those that they have wronged, all right? And maybe those who seek vengeance or retribution. I would hate to think that I have somebody dogging my tail like that, right? I mean, I treated somebody wrong, and so they're after me. Well, that's a sign of paranoia right there, all right? That's what they fear. Now, maybe somebody will dog you like that, and maybe they will not, you know? Or maybe they fear the consequences of their immoral and ungodly actions. They have consequences, do they not? Wow, we could look at King David. He's a good example of what we're talking, maybe a bad example of what we're talking about right there, okay? But they would fear that. That's what wicked people fear. That maybe they fear their exposure of their dark and secret deeds. It's all going to come out one day anyway, right? And I tell you what, if nobody else knows, God knows. Does He not? And He's the one I'm concerned about. I would like to think that I would not fear what man thinks of me. I would like to think I don't fear what man can do to me. I'm more concerned about what God thinks of me. Or that's the way that it ought to be, right? Amen. Because I do. I want to be able to stand before God one day and Him say, well done. I think the closer we get to the end of our lives, that's the way I start thinking more and more, Brother Chuck. You know, the older we get, And I started thinking, I want to be able to stand before God one day. And God, I know I didn't do it all right. And that's all right, son. Well done. Well done, good and faithful servant. Try to keep our accounts clean, but... the wicked people, they fear these. They fear the exposure of their dark and secret deeds, that one day it's going to all come to light. Now, here's the thing. It may, based upon this verse, it may come to light and it may not come to light. But these are the things we fear, right? We try to hide it. I used to tell the kids in school, I said, look, if you're doing something wrong, it seems like God just times it to where I just walk around that corner at just the right time. Or one of the teachers, and catch you doing something, walk into the bathroom at just the right time, and you hear some conversation going on. They may be in separate stalls carrying on conversations, and I walk in. It's interesting, some of the things that you hear, and they don't know who it is. Usually they can hear me coming because my keys are jingling, my badge and all that. They know it's me coming down the hallway, but that's the way God times it. I tell the kids, too, I'd like to thank y'all if somebody's doing something wrong in the bathroom or anywhere else for that matter, that you would step up and say, you know what, that's not right. But I know kids, they have this peer pressure, and it's not an easy thing for them to do, so I do understand that, all right? But anyway, that we fear the consequences of immoral and ungodly actions. It's going to happen, right? We fear the exposure of their dark secret deeds that will all come to light. Here's something we could fear. We could fear law enforcement officers or other legal authorities. Some of them we've already mentioned, because maybe we're not doing things just right. Maybe we have broken the law. Maybe we are I don't think anybody in here is a fugitive from justice, are you? There's nobody in here like that, all right? But hope not, anyway. But you're afraid you're going to get caught. Well, therein, the Bible says right here, the wicked flee when no man pursueth. I don't want to live my life like that as the child of God. So these are the things I think about when I think about this verse. I'll tell you what we ought to be concerned about if we're living a wicked life, especially as a child of God. We better worry about divine judgment, the divine judgment of God, because we will not get away with this as a child of God. He loves us, does he not? I take verses literally. I know there's a verse over in 1 John chapter 5 that talks about there is a sin unto death. All right, I take that literal. I know not everybody agrees with me on that, but I do believe there's a sin that everybody could commit in here where God just go ahead and take your life, rather than you bring reproach upon the name of God. Now, I can't prove that, but you may not agree with me on that, but I know God doesn't like sin, okay? And if you're not, I heard a preacher put it like this one time. It was an old Arkansas preacher I had in Springfield, Missouri, and he would put it something like this, say, well, son, if you're not going to mind, I'm just going to have you come up here and sit by me for a while. Right? Yeah, ever heard anybody put it like that? God will just take your life and bring you up. Maybe he'll look at you and say, well, son, that was stupid, wasn't it? I don't know how God will deal with us when we get up there, anyway, I do believe there's a sin unto death, all right? But these are the wicked people that we're talking about, and wicked people fear these things. Wicked people, do you think a child of God could ever get like this? Wicked people may disregard God. I think Brother Cooper and I, we know some people like this, that when we've talked about it. Wicked people may disregard God and even deny his existence. Can a child of God get like that? I know, as far as I know, maybe they weren't really saved. I don't know. But I've heard people that confessed to be saved, and they don't even believe in the existence of God anymore. But however, his holy word is etched upon their hearts, right? And I think it'll all come back. It's not going to go away, but a child of God could get like that. God forbid. I pray sometimes, God, don't let me ever get that bad. For one thing, I don't want to bring reproach upon Christ, the name of Christ, the church of God, my family, my wife, my kids, my grandkids. I'd hate to think that I would fall like that. But wicked people, they're haunted with these kinds of things. And they're haunted by the knowledge that what God says is true. Now, how would they be haunted by that kind of knowledge? Because the Bible says, you do this, this is going to happen. I mean, that's the law of God, right? So they worry about these kinds of things. They do something, and then you may even tell yourself, well, that was stupid. I can't believe I did that. And then you figure you're going to suffer the consequences for it. Well, that's probably the way it's going to be. You know, God's not going to let you get away with that, you know. Here's something, and this really works on people. I mean, we do care what other people think about us, do we not? Okay, but wicked people sometimes they're afraid that their sins will one day find them out, and that they will be exposed for everybody to see. As a matter of fact, there's a verse over in Numbers 32:23, and I know it's Old Testament, but I believe we can apply it to, it will all come to light. We know it's going to all come to light at the Bema seat. I'm trying to think of the great what? Not great white. What am I thinking of? The judgment seat of Christ. You know, it's going to all come to light someday. You ever thought about this? I mean, this would work on me if I had anything to do with abortion or abortion doctors. I think that, I mean, all of these aborted babies, and we have slaughtered an entire generation, have we not? Can you think about some of the people that's been slaughtered in those abortion mills? Maybe somebody that would have been great statesman, or maybe somebody that had the cure for cancer or something like that. But I got this theory, and I can't prove this, but I think that one day when some of these ungodly people that have performed some of these abortions, stand before God one day, all these little aborted babies, this is my theory, be standing behind them, and they'll know who they are, I would hate to think that I would have to appear before, that's the great white throne judgment there. But that is my theory anyway, okay? Regardless where you stand on that, anytime a child is aborted, that's taking a human life. Yeah. And hey, look, if the doctor came to me and said, look, we're either going to have to, take the child or your wife's going to die. Well, I know who I would choose. I'd choose my wife. Darling went, But... But I tell you what, anyway, you look at that, that would be taking a human life. It wouldn't be an easy decision, would it? I'm not going to argue with somebody about whether, what their ideas are on abortion, but anytime a child is aborted, now that they may disagree, say, no, that's just a fetus. That's not a real, they got heartbeats and everything, it's taking a human life. But, wicked people, sometimes they feel like their sins one day is going to find them out and be exposed. Now the righteous, on the other hand, the Bible says right here in verse 1, bold as lion. That's the way that I want to be. I don't have to worry about what I've said to anybody. I don't have to worry about telling a lie to cover up one other lie. If somebody might say to me, say, well, brother, can you lie to me? Well, if I did, it was in pure ignorance, okay? I would not intentionally do something like that. But the righteous, they have no need to be looking over their shoulders. And this is the way that I want to live, okay? The righteous, I don't know. This is the way I think, okay? The righteous, they can strut. You know how to strut? Anybody ever strut right there? The righteous, they can strut through life with confidence and courage, just like, that's what lions do, right? Just like a fearless lion, okay? The wicked, not so much, okay? The righteous. Boy, sometimes I wonder whether I should use some of these examples or not, but I probably shouldn't in this particular mixed group. Miss Jones going, yeah, Brother King, you probably shouldn't say that, okay? But the righteous, they can enjoy sound sleep, lay my head down on my pillow, and go to sleep at night, usually, unless I got something. But I'm not because I'm worried about anything. Enjoy the sound sleep and the peace that accompany clean conduct and a clear conscience. God give us a clear conscience. Amen. And here's a promise. And I'm getting done at 10 past. I want everybody to look, okay? Here's a promise for God, from God, okay? The Bible says this in Numbers 32:23. It says, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord. The promise is, be sure your sin will find you out. Well, let's read it once again. These are my thoughts, and when the pastor asked me to do this tonight, this is what I thought about. The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous, they are as bold as a lion. God help us to be as bold as a lion. Amen. Let's bow for prayer. Actually, before we pray, let me ask you this. You're here today, and you say, Brother King, I don't know that when I die, I'm going to go to heaven. But there, if there's a way that you can know, if there's a way that you can show me from the Bible, I would like to know what the Bible says. Is there anybody here like that? You'd slip your hand up. I'd love to take you aside or have somebody take you aside and show you what the Bible says about this. Or you're here today and you say, Brother King, I have a very dire, important request, unspoken request at this time right now. And it's something I'm praying about right now, and it's something I wish you would pray about also before we pray. Anybody here like that, slip your hand up. I see that one. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. Hands just keep going up. Amen. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful for the Word of God. God, help us, our Father, to be as bold as a lion, and certainly not to have a bad conscience. Lord, we want to have a clean conscience toward you. We want to be able to be as bold as a lion as we go through this life. God, we know that we're not perfect. We certainly know that we have our faults. We know that you're a good God, though, and we know you're not going to give us justice, but that you're going to give us mercy, and for that we're thankful for. Now, Father, all these hands that was raised just all over the auditorium, you know what these needs are, Father, and we'd ask you to answer them as only you can. And, Lord, when all is said and done, we'll give you the glory and the honor. God, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for Proverbs 28:1, we pray in Christ's name.